This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 543, recorded Thursday, June 17th, 2021, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. So, Jerry, I understand that you are in an exciting and exotic location.
I'm in my truck.
Isn't that not an exciting to you, an exotic location?
Well, my truck is in Miami, in a parking lot of a hotel.
Why are you, at liberty to discuss why you are in a hotel parking lot in Miami? In
sure.
Whatever detail you
I'm in a hotel parking lot in Miami because I didn't want to sleep in the truck, so we got a hotel room.
Okay. That's a good reason.
Yep.
I know you love your truck.
The truck's Wi-Fi is better than the hotel's Wi-Fi.
That's always the case, isn't it?
Well, I'm not sharing my truck's Wi-Fi with anybody.
Yeah, I'm just more saying that hotel Wi-Fi is unreliable. Now, last week I was having some trouble using an old laptop for the audio link. So I've switched to the Gazilla, which is the little, let's just say credit card size computer I was using when I was hanging around my parents' place in Florida.
Credit card size computer.
Well, actually,
how far we have advanced.
Well, see, this is a credit card size computer. It's thicker than a credit card. So it's about, let's say, a deck of cards, maybe.
So Raspberry Pi-ish?
No, it's actually double the width of a Raspberry Pi, but definitely the same depth. But I haven't gotten a chance to work on it. But I think I told you the story of how I had bought like this little mini computer that was on deep discount and then fought with Amazon over delivery.
Okay.
That one's even more powerful, but I haven't had a chance to redo the operating system. It's still running Windows. So I have been a little busy. So I did rig this up because it was already set up for this scenario. Although it was a good time to update all the packages because I was two versions behind on Zoom. But
goodness gracious.
Well, you know, a lot of those versions were the ones where they added in all that extra security and other things.
Does this mean that you can now record shows and be able to record separate streams for separate individuals?
Yes and no. I need to find myself an SD card because this computer does not have enough. The Gazilla does not have enough storage space to store audio and video, or even audio. Actually, it runs out quickly. So it has a mountable SD drive. I'd have to have the audio stored on there.
Which is funny considering I email you the audio files every week. So yeah. I can email you stuff bigger than the computer can hold.
Well, you know, I got the computer for $60. It's not like it.
Sure.
It's really, it's a great Zoom computer because that's pretty much all I can ask it to do. You know, I took off Windows, which was originally on it, and put on, this one's running Ubuntu because Fedora would not install because of drivers. But again, it's just running Zoom in a browser. That's all I really needed to do. And I like the idea of having a computer that I can't easily mess up. So hopefully there was one person last week who's back in our chat room on YouTube who said that there was an audio problem. And I'm hoping that the switching to a different computer system fixed that. If not, I'll try again, I guess.
Interesting.
Well, I've swapped one piece of hardware. If it isn't that piece of hardware, it has to be the other piece of hardware.
Well, it also could be your internet connection.
Everything is hardwired.
Okay, but congestion happens.
Yeah, but the comment.
I'm not saying it's your fault. Maybe
the comment last week was not that it was distorted. The comment was that it was like off pitch.
And you know, I've gotten that from you today. It's like you slow down.
No, that's just me occasionally slowing.
No, I mean the pitch drops in your voice. It's, I deal enough with audio to know the difference between you just speaking slower and the audio arriving slower. I mean, it's blue shift.
And I'm wondering about that. Maybe I'm better off going home. Because remember, I was recording here all last summer. We didn't have that problem. Nothing with the internet here has changed.
That's true.
That I know of.
Your pitch change, the slow delivery seems to be a recent problem.
And I'm not sure. Because remember,
but it doesn't happen often.
Yeah, well, 2 weeks ago, I was in a different place with different internet and using different equipment. The only common equipment that's been everywhere is the thing that does the YouTube streaming, but that wouldn't affect you being as you're not on the YouTube link.
Right. For example, it just happened.
Okay.
At the very end of you saying you, it went you.
I don't know anymore. I'm working on
audio is hard, yo.
Yeah, but it's been working reliable. What happens is it works reliably. I don't do anything, and then suddenly it just starts giving me trouble. And I don't know why. Now, I did hear there are static, but I think I might have a solution for that. 1 second. Did the static go away?
I haven't really heard any static from you today.
Okay. Well, no, there is a dehumidifier running in the background. I am in a basement. So I thought maybe that was contributing to the noise. So I just went and turned it off.
Is it possible that you're hearing noise from my end? Because I have the AC running in the truck.
Well, you are in a car, so I suppose it could be you. But I don't hear static. It's our guest on YouTube. So this week I did do some interesting things.
Ooh.
I hooked up a new Home Assistant integration to Ring. It's mostly designed for the Ring alarm system, which I don't have. But one of the features it has is it has the ability to arm and disarm the Ring alarm modes. And I need that for a project here in the remote area. So in about 2 hours, my brother's on his way here. And he really hates when he owns the house next door. He really hates when the Ring cameras at certain times are aimed at him and his family. So I usually manually turn them off by hitting the disarm button in the Ring app, which turns all, it doesn't turn the cameras off if you press the doorbell, but it turns off the automatic motion sensing. So I've now set up an automation that when he arrives, it will actually do that for me instead of me having to go and do it.
Oh, goodness. All right.
No. I respect it. He loves it when the cameras are on when he's not here to watch his property. Okay. But I don't think he likes, you know, the recording of family members while he's actually in the house. Now, I do the same thing at home, although for me, I do it with the inside cameras. I cut the power to those cameras, as I've mentioned, when I'm not there, and I only turn them on when I'm away. I got that wrong. I cut the power when I'm there, and I turn it off when I'm not there. They turn back on. So I'm just doing the same thing here, essentially. But he wants more of the external cameras, the ones that, by the way, these are the ones that cover the deck, not the ones that cover the front path.
I didn't even know you had a deck.
I don't have a deck. He has a deck.
Oh.
My family has had a house here for a while. The gentleman next door wanted to sell his house, and my brother liked coming here, and we've been coming here since we were kids, so he bought the house next door.
Cool.
It's not the same house. It's similar. They were both built at the same time. Anyway, so I run the home automation for both houses for obvious reasons. I do that sort of thing. I also can remotely control his air conditioner. But I'm a good brother, and I don't play with his air conditioner for him. But anyway, so that's one of the things that I did. I also am continuing to try to figure out what to do about the 3D printer now that I have the BL Touch on it.
What do you mean?
I think I have a calibration issue because definitely the nozzle is too far from the bed. I need to watch some more YouTube videos to figure it out. I got everything else working the way I want it. It's coming out, but it looks like it's a little too high, and that's causing it to not adhere. Either that or I don't know what I'm doing, which is definitely a distinct possibility.
Okay. It's always a possibility.
Well, I'd like to get it working again. Look at how much I've invested in it. I'm not talking about the money. I'm talking about the time. Admittedly, I invested more money in it than I thought I would because I did upgrade it. I added the bed leveling. I added the springs. I added the extruder. I replaced the firmware because you needed that to do the bed leveling tech. Also, in a news about the whole idea of also having an alternate name for the show, Techno Buffet.
Yes.
I have some news for everyone. I have contacted our logo designer and asked if they would create an alternate version of the logo that had the techno lettering in it.
Really?
Should I have?
What? No, you did great.
Yeah, I assume there will be a charge for that, but I assume less than drawing cartoon art of Jerry Jones.
Yep.
But again, that means that I can maintain both versions of the site. So I can have a techno buffet front and I can have an Android buffet front so that we don't destroy people who want to hear about both.
Good plan.
Yes. Anyway, that said, there's been some interesting things that I found when I was looking for stories to talk about this week.
Ooh, I'm yeah. All ears.
You'd have to be. Where else are you going to go? You're in a car.
Yep. Well, I'm in a car. I could go lots of places.
Okay, good point. Android 12 will notify you if an app accesses the clipboard.
You know, I think this is actually a kind of an amazing... I never actually thought about this, but there's a lot of times when I'm using LastPass and LastPass doesn't integrate with the app I'm using. So I'll go into LastPass, find my password, put it in the clipboard, and then go to the app. But if I think it would be great to know if something is, you know, reading the clipboard on the sly, you know?
Yeah. And I think iOS also did this not long ago, and it may. I think there's sort of an arms race in both iOS and Android to add better privacy features.
Not that that's a bad thing.
No, that's a wonderful thing. I'm just saying that that's a good thing to iterate on. There's a lot of other things they were iterating on in the past, but remember, both platforms are pretty mature, so we're not at the point where there's going to be that wow feature. But, you know, there's going to be like little mini wows. So this is, okay, well, why shouldn't it tell us if something is accessing the clipboard?
I think it Remember, should. And I get tired of excessive notifications, but that's one I really like.
Well, remember one thing. It's not going to tell you if you're pasting something into an app. This is if an app is trying to access the clipboard. So a little different.
Which if makes you are, it even better because that would
yeah,
be
an application. So you that won't see that many notifications, again, unless something is doing something potentially malicious.
One would hope that one never sees that.
Again, unless you have an app that you want to do that. Google will start updating Chromebooks monthly starting in November.
So as they opposed are to going every 6 weeks. Follow the Google or the they're going to follow the Chrome browser. Release.
Yeah, which not long ago they actually changed to be on a 4-week release cycle.
Crazy.
I don't know. Is there that much browser technology that I need to be updated once a month?
I'm going to go with yes.
Okay, I'm just asking the question.
Well, there's security stuff too. I mean,
yeah, no, security.
Browsers are probably some of the most attacked platforms on the planet. So,
yeah, there's one other thing that would really help me if they did the thing that Home Assistant did. if they're going to monthly releases, it would be nice if the release version actually aligned with the year.
You know, one of the software that I use for work, their release versions are the year dot the month that it came out dot a fixed version.
Yeah, which is, again, what?
Or a quarter. It's a quarter. So,
yeah, it's what, that's essentially what Home Assistant recently did. They switched from point releases to date releases. So the last release was 2021.6. Or was it dash six? I forget. So I like that. I'm not doing it. I'm old school, but I like the idea. Google has asked developers to call out Android device manufacturers that aggressively close background apps. That's good. Tattle. Everyone tattle.
Okay.
Here's another interesting one. Google Fit has added paced walking.
What is paced? Is that where they like tell you left, right?
No. Essentially, and I had to read this to sort of understand what it is. So you want to make sure that you're walking at a certain pace, right?
Yeah.
And for exercise purposes. So what they're going to do is they're going to play a beat, which can play on top of other audio or a podcast. So the beat will indicate the speed that that you want to walk. So the idea is whatever pace you feel natural, you can set it to sort of speed you up and get your pace faster over time. And there'll just be a beat in the background in your headphones.
And apparently this also helps you get your heart points faster.
Yeah, but I like this feature. I haven't tried it because I have not gone on a solo walk.
Right.
Well, again, I'm in a community and there's always somebody wandering around in a circle. At least at the time I go out. So let's see what else. Meet is offering a second screen companion.
What?
There's a Spanish Starbucks next to the coffee place. We're going.
I guess Jerry is getting car side delivery. Did they ask you to move your vehicle?
No, that was my wife and daughter.
Oh no, I didn't hear clearly what was said. I was sort of joking, but
oh, I thought I had it myself muted.
No, I heard some of what was said. I didn't hear anything clearly. So. No.
My wife and daughter are going to go grab some food and drink.
You should join them after you do some sort of podcast thing.
I don't know, because they left my other daughter in the room, and I don't know if I feel good leaving her here by herself.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll see.
So Google Meet is adding a second screen companion mode experience, and I like this idea also. Ooh. So the idea is that you can connect people with connect essentially a second screen. So not having a second screen on the same computer, but let's say that you... And I'm going to say what I think this would work for. You remember the Google Chromecast TV?
Yes.
And how I've mentioned that, you know, if you hook a camera up to that, that would make like a perfect TV, like conferencing system?
Yes.
So if you do that, how do you control your TV conferencing system? Like if you also want to share into the same meeting from your computer, if you have your meeting up on a wall. So you can enable this companion mode on your personal device. And again, this is not exactly what it's for, but this is where I would want it. And that would allow you to have essentially do certain other things.
Like what?
Seamlessly connect those in the room with the remote teammates, giving everybody advanced features to participate while leveraging the best of in-room audio and video conferencing capability. So the idea is that you would be able to have your dedicated screen, especially if you were in, let's say, a group meeting. So let's go back to when people had meetings in person. Let's say you were in a conference.
Whiteboards?
Well, no, let's say you had a conference room with like five people in it.
Okay.
And you had a Google Meet or Zoom or what have you hooked up. And then on the other end of that meeting were people in other locations. So you're in a room with people, so you don't need to have, you know, the conferencing software on your computer to be able to get into the conference. That's being done as part of the room you're in. But you want to be able to present in there or do it with those other features that you would do. So take part in question and answers, polls, raise your hand, etc. So the whole idea here is your first screen is, you know, your in-room audio and video. So for an office, that would be like a conference room. But for me, I might want to go and put my audio and video for my conferencing on my television. And then I might want to be sitting somewhere and still, you know, doing all those extra things in the meeting, like being able to mute myself, being able to, you know, to type in the little chat room, being able to share my screen from my computer. So I could see an advantage of this just for me at home, but I could see what they're trying to do, which is, again, you can still be in the meeting, even if the audio video is being managed by some sort of room experience.
Cool. Okay.
So I think that sounds useful. Of course, we did not adopt Meet. We talked about it, but we didn't adopt it. We're still with the nice people at Zoom. So we'll see.
Yes.
If you are a user of Hangouts, apparently Chat, the Hangouts replacement, is now available to all.
Oh my gosh.
So you may want to switch to it. Now, I switched to the Gmail integration for Chat. And I do have to say that I sort of like it a bit more because they're actually updating it. Again, it replaces the Hangouts tab in the sidebar of Gmail with the Chat tab, which essentially is the same thing because you have the same people you're chatting with. The other thing is, you know how you can be active, do not disturb, or away in Hangouts?
Yes.
They've moved it so that the button that does that is at the top of the Gmail window. So I think they've integrated it nicely. I'm not going to say that I like Chat more than Hangouts. I was perfectly fine with Hangouts. It just, I think they have a better experience. The only thing I can't turn off is that it also gives me a Meet tab and a Rooms tab. And I don't know if I can just turn those off because I don't need a room, nor do I need, you know, an instant video conversation.
Yeah.
Of course, there may be a time when I do need that. They're trying to turn Gmail into this sort of unified interface.
Well, I guess that kind of makes sense.
No, I understand that. And it's not just, you know, Chat and, you know, Meet, which are their two conferencing. Apparently, you can now add in all these workspace features, such as side-by-side email and docs. So in the same thing as Gmail, you can essentially work on a Google Doc, make video calls, send email, chat, all again in one single app or in this web app. That sounds a bit busy, though.
It does, but maybe it'll work out.
Well, no. Again, parts of it sound good, but as long as I can turn certain things off and not use it, okay, fine. If it works for people, why not? Meanwhile, if you like the idea of people who need broadband being able to get it, regardless of whether you think it's a good idea, apparently a judge has determined that the state of New York, my home state, cannot force service providers to provide $15 low-income broadband to people.
I wonder how I feel about this.
Well, I'd like to point out that technically all service providers are considered franchises, which means they do have franchise agreements. They just don't have them at the state level. In most cases, they have them at the regional level. So at the regional level, this could be negotiated. However, you can't do it by force of law. So I'm actually agreeing with you.
Cool.
But I think certain municipalities can say, if you want to do business in our municipality, you have to offer this, which is a little different than the state saying, regardless of anything else, you have to do this. The reason why is, remember, regions give broadband companies monopolies in many areas.
I am less concerned about government overreach at the local level. I believe the vast majority of lawmaking and regulations should happen at the local level.
Yeah,
I worry when they happen at the state level and the federal level.
I'm saying that I agree that at the local level, this could be done. You could, a community could say that if you want to do business here because we give you a monopoly, that we can tell you that you have to offer this product. However, the state does not have any such compelling interest. So I can't say that while I certainly believe people should be able to afford broadband, I don't think the state can force this. So again, even though we have very different reasons for why, we actually are in agreement about this.
Yay!
The Dark Sky API is getting another year of access for people who have it. Yay.
Okay.
I'm a Dark Sky API user who has supported three other APIs because I'm worried that this thing's going to go away one day. And you know I need my weather fix.
You got to have your weather fix.
Well, you know, I have multiple, you know, I have the National Weather Service. I have Open Weather Map. I have Dark Sky. And remember that, did I tell you about Pirate Weather?
Yes.
Okay. I really like that idea. That's just essentially one doctoral student recreating the functionality of Dark Sky on an AWS instance using public data. You got to love that. I should give that guy some money. By the way, since I appreciate the gentleman in question so much, I will point out that he is asking for money to help for his server costs. He is not actually charging anything for the service per se, but if you do it, he will give you some additional benefits. So if you believe that there should be a nice place to get weather API data, you can get, he's asking for anywhere from $1 to $5 a month. And there are only 8 people supporting him that I can see.
Oh,
so
that's the thing about donations.
I'm thinking of being the 9th. I can afford $1 a month.
Sure.
Anyway, that's pirateweather.net. Doom was apparently ported to run on the microcontroller of an IKEA smart light bulb.
Of course it was.
I just love putting in these stories of people, like, you know, doing really weird things just for the fun of it. There is no practical application to running Doom on the microcontroller of a light bulb, except the fun of figuring out how to do it.
The part that caught my, that I thought was particularly funny.
Yeah.
Was the observation that an $18 light bulb has the same processing power as a $1,000 computer 30 years ago.
Well, let me ask you a question. I remember very vividly do you remember what the first stick of RAM you ever bought cost?
No.
I actually do.
How do you know what the first stick of RAM I bought cost?
No, I know how much the first stick of RAM I bought cost.
Oh, okay.
Whew. I bought
1 megabyte. Weird.
Yeah, I bought 1 megabyte of RAM, which was a lot in the day. And it cost me $100.
The first RAM that I bought wasn't actually a stick. It was chips that we put in our TRS-80 Model 1 to increase it from 4K to 64K.
That might have cost even more. But I never remember. I started out, I think I've told you, with a Commodore 64. So my first PC computer was actually a 386. So I made a pretty big jump from Commodore 64 to 386. And the 386 had 1 megabyte of RAM, and I remember putting in a second one.
Cool.
And again, now...
And you still had only 640K of lower memory that you could put stuff in.
Yeah.
Without lots of changes to the autostart.bat.
The good old days.
Yep.
Was it autostart.bat or auto something else.bat? Wasn't it autoexec.bat?
I don't remember.
Sorry, it's been, for both of us, it's been probably the same amount of time. But anyway, long time ago. That would have been like the early 90s. So here's another interesting one. DevTerm is a open source portable terminal with a modular design. I just, again, love it when people build interesting things.
And it's so cute.
Yeah. So just to describe it, it's a open source terminal that features a 6.8 inch 1280 by 480 display, a keyboard, a battery module, and an optional built-in thermal printer. So it looks like a, like an old school terminal, and you can sort of type on it. And again, optionally print things out of a little receipt. So this is a very retro looking device.
Oh yeah. I like it.
Yeah. I like a lot of these retro devices. They're just fun to look at. And finally, being as I bought the Mobvoi TicWatch E and the Mobvoi TicWatch E2, I thought I would mention that the Mobvoi TicWatch E3 is now out.
Ooh.
This one is the second Mobvoi that has the Snapdragon Wear 4100 chipset.
Yeah.
They're advertising 48 hours of battery life and apparently a $199 price, but they aren't saying whether or not it'll get the new version of Wear OS. So it is definitely an iteration off of the original E and the E2.
Is 48 hours better or worse?
The current one can probably do about 20 to 24, depending on... It also depends on whether or not you have the screen blank when you're not actively using it.
Didn't the TicWatch do a thing where it had an LCD screen that was on when the... Or not...
Yeah, that's
the TicWatch Pro. It had a liquid crystal.
Yeah, but that's the TicWatch Pro. Ah. So you can still get that with the TicWatch Pro 3, which is the Pro model. This is the base model.
Ah, okay.
So, you know,
the base model is $200.
Well, bear in mind,
it could probably run Doom.
I got, well, no, of course it could run Doom, but I got both the TicWatch and the E and the E2, I believe I got for like $130 on sale. So right now I'm not watching as much as I used to because, again, not going as many places. But at some point, if there's a sale, like, and it goes down to where I bought the other two, I might consider upgrading. Someday I'll go back to my office. Not rushing, but that's only because I'm saving so much in gas.
I understand.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
Oh yeah.
About the gas thing. Now, no one's asked me to come back, so I'm not running. Anyway, that brings us to the end of this. Hopefully by next week, I will have had some time to figure out why my 3D printer isn't working. And possibly I might be able to, depending on when our artist is done, because it's no rush, show you our Techno Buffet logo to complement our Android Buffet logo.
Ooh.
Does this mean I'm going to have to go and make some more swag? Not that I ever remember to send the swag to anybody, but I keep making it.
Yep.
And I will continue to work on the audio situation. I don't know. Sometimes things work perfectly and sometimes they don't. And sometimes I don't know why, because I didn't change anything.
Well, in this case, I think part of the audio problem might have been when you said that you could hear my wife or a little bit of it.
Yeah.
That was a clue because I know I had muted my headset. What I discovered was, after you said that I wasn't sending you audio from my headset. I was sending you audio from my from the laptop.
Okay, so that might explain it. So it wasn't me, it was you.
It wasn't you. It probably wasn't you. It was probably me, which means that if the audio from me suddenly got better or worse in the last half of the show, then that's why.
You know what depresses me? We've been doing this for like 11 years now. I feel like we should be better. And again, I think sometimes that's the fun of it. You know that all of us here at Android Buffet fly by the seat of our pants, figuratively speaking.
Sometimes literally.
Okay, well, enjoy your time in Miami.
Thank you.
It's a lovely city. As you know, I've spent time there.
It is. They're still taking COVID seriously.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, not super seriously, not New York seriously, but certainly more so than Jacksonville serious.
I'd like to point out that New York pretty much removed all restrictions, but New York is at about 70%, just under, if I remember correctly.
Okay, but how often do you see people wearing masks?
Decreasingly less, but again, there's still plenty of people who are doing it.
Yep. It's still kind of common down here in Miami.
Yeah.
There are several stores that still require it. And yeah. In Jacksonville, it is a rare thing to find a store that requires a mask.
The biggest problem I have with the sort of mask versus not mask wearing is the way that the switch was executed, I think made people feel like the original mask wearing thing was not something that should have been recommended. It just reversed very quickly. And I know you have a lot of views on that beyond it. But if you really legitimately believe that masking is the solution to preventing certain diseases, just one day saying, well, if just stop doing it instead of saying we're going to phase it out in a more reasonable way. It makes people, again, just sort of rush in the other direction. And I worry that the result of that is that if there is a reoccurrence, which I hope there never is, that people will just not take it seriously and it could be worse. And it was pretty bad last time in some places.
Okay.
So I believe in tying any decision to ask people to wear masks or anything else for public health should be tied to an objective metric.
Yep.
That's just my opinion. And if the objective metric is when the community reaches this percentage, we feel comfortable doing this, I would have felt better about it. Anyway, that brings us to the end of this week's program. If anybody has any feedback about how I can make things better, I am going to hook up a bypass record, which I have had in the past. Jerry's been doing the recording for the last few months. I figured you needed something to do.
Yes, because my job description basically is show up.
Yeah.
And sometimes I even fail at that. So, yes.
Well, I figured, you know, you needed something to, you know, feel empowered.
I am empowered.
Powerful. But there should always be a backup. And if I had known that you might be somewhere else, I would have made sure one was ready, because all I need to do is, again, find an SD card somewhere around here and stick it into the slot on there. So there's somewhere for it to record, because then after the show, I can take it out and put it into my laptop. So enjoy the rest of your time in Miami. Everybody else, we will see you next week, which will be the 24th, when we will do this again.
Yay!
Goodbye.
Goodbye, folks.